The title of the sermon this evening is The Deep Innermost Desires and Needs. And tonight, as best as I can, I'm going to just speak to you from my heart. And I'm going to share some things and challenge you with some things. And I want to make an overall qualification as I begin, just for the sake of visitors and maybe some newer ones. I want you to know that no matter what I say tonight, our church, from the very beginning, has had much love. Much love. I mean loads and loads of love. I also want you to know that we have had much commitment to our pastor. And this is an important thing to realize, that we've had this, but there's got to be so much more. There's got to be so much more. And I want you to also know that I'm not going to be able to qualify every single statement. I won't even attempt to do so. But I want you to know that every single thing that I'm saying fits in with the entire tenor of the Bible. And it may not seem that way to some, but it does. Certain things that I might say may seem to be excessive or just overly much. I do not believe they're excessive. I believe they are the very heart of God. And I think that they are extremely vital in this hour if these desires and needs are ever going to be met. You have desires and needs that you don't even know you have. And there are some key things, certain steps, that must be taken for these things to ever be met. And if you won't take these steps, really, you can forget about them being met. Basically speaking, you can forget about it ever coming to pass. And so I think this is a very serious thing. I want you to know that I don't know what my role is or my full place in this church. I don't know what it is entirely. I don't. I don't know what it is in its full sense in this move of God. I don't. I really do not. But what I do know is this, that some of the very most important things that have ever happened to me are happening right now in my life. That's what I know. And I'm not worried about the rest, because the rest will take care of itself. I do feel that many of these things are for you to some degree. I don't know to what degree. I also want you to know that I don't consider myself some sort of forerunner or really anything else. I don't. I don't think of myself that way at all. I never have. Maybe someday I will, but tonight I sure don't. All that I see is that I really need, want, and love Jesus. And that He is meeting my needs. And then for reasons far beyond my understanding, and I find it to be incomprehensible, Jesus has decided to use all of this for you. And I don't understand it. But I just share that with you. I want you to know that. I want you to be aware of that. I feel like God is going to unfold a lot of things to me about my life, and they're going to always affect you. They're going to be for you. I don't think that God is doing what He's doing in my life just for me. He is in one sense, but that would put too great of a limitation on what God is doing. I have never been so touched by God. I've never been so affected by God. I've never felt so loved by certain people in particular, and I know they're representative of a much larger spectrum. I've never felt so accepted. I've never felt so secure. I really needed people to minister to me tonight before I preached. I really needed it. And I knew I could ask these people to minister to me, and I knew they would pour themselves out for me. And that's exactly what they did. Oh, it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. And God is going to do this throughout our entire assembly. Through this entire assembly. Every need will be met if we let Jesus meet the needs. It's a very important thing to the heart of God. Very important. Now in Psalm chapter 37, verses 4 and 5, you don't need to turn there. This will be the only verses I read. And I'm just going to read them and then we're off to the races, so to speak. Not down at Long Acres, of course. Have a little problem there. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It's a promise of God. Tremendous promise of God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. He's going to bring this to pass. We must realize, and this is something that is going to take some time in our lives, but many of our needs and many of our desires we are basically unaware of. I have experienced over the past number of weeks and months certain things that caused me to be aware of needs that I didn't know I had before. And I kind of did, but I didn't. They were painful things to experience. Very uncomfortable. But I'm so glad that I experienced them. Because it made me aware of needs that I didn't know I had. My wife has been having the very same thing happen in her life. And many of you are having the very same thing happen. So that you will become aware of how needy you are. And how much certain things really need to be met in your life. Certain desires, certain longings that have been blocked by demon spirits for years and years and years. And the moment that God starts to really deal with those, you're going to find battles like you never found before. You're going to find demonic strongholds that you didn't know existed. And this is happening. It's happening all throughout our assembly. We are also going to more and more be aware of the fact that we have been unaware of many of our brethren's needs. And I'm going to intersperse a lot of things in this message. And I will get done, I promise you. But I'm going to intersperse the things that come to my mind and heart. And I don't know what they'll do along the way, but I'm just going to take that liberty. Friday night after Lanny preached, came down here and I just committed myself to Lanny. And then Greg Thiel came down, stood with us. And Lanny said something very interesting to Greg. And I knew it was true, but I didn't really understand it in a sense. And it has some qualification, and it doesn't mean in a total absolute way, but Lanny said to Greg, he said, "Greg, we failed you in your darkest hour." And I knew that was true in a proper sense. We did. Now, we supported Greg. We prayed for Greg. We ministered to Greg. When his wife was dying of cancer, we did. And that's public record. And we all know that we did. But in another sense, I knew exactly what Lanny was saying. And I knew it was true, but I didn't really understand it. And this afternoon, I was sitting at home, and I was thinking about this. And my heart was really going out to Greg. It was really being affected for Greg. And I realized the basic reason that I failed Greg is I couldn't comprehend the depth of his need. I couldn't comprehend that depth. And then I'm sure there were many spirits blocking me as well and blocking others. It gets down to the point where it looks like, well, this should meet the need, but it's not going to meet the need because the needs are deeper. The needs are really deep, my friend. They are very deep. The needs you have are deep beyond your wildest dreams. When you think the needs are being met, God hasn't even started meeting the needs. And so in that sense, see, I was unaware of Greg's real needs. And certain things have been coming up, and I'm committing myself to Greg. I'm not going to fail him a second time. I'm not. I'm going to stand with Greg. I'm going to meet his needs in any way that I can as God is moving in me and through me. And I mean that with all my heart. I mean it with everything that's in me. And I believe that God is right in all of this. I believe that God is moving in such an incredible way in our midst. And He wants all of you to be able to come in and partake. You see, we look at some and can't imagine that they have needs. You ever look at Mark Ilkers and imagine that Mark Ilkers has needs? Just like Mark doesn't have any needs. I mean, how can he? Looks like he's made of steel. You know, looks like he can do all, see all, climb tall buildings in a single bound. He doesn't walk to church, he flies to church, you know. Mark Ilkers has deep needs. And God is going to use some of you, directly led of the Spirit, to meet his needs. He is. And he's going to use the eldership to do the same thing as well. See, we're all the same. We're all the same. There's no real difference between us. We're all clay and the needs are deep. The needs are so great. Jesus is using a step-by-step process to really go deep into our lives. Jesus wants to go deep into your life. Boy, does he want to touch your life. Jesus wants to affect your life. He really does. And as that is happening, those demons will be exposed. And I feel like, and I'm not saying this in an absolute sense, I'm telling you my feelings. Some might be right, some might be wrong. They're my opinions. Some I feel strong about, I could still be wrong. Wouldn't be anything new, necessarily. But I feel like some of the most significant deliverances are right around the corner. We have had tremendous deliverances. But I feel like the most significant ones are still before us. I feel so strongly about this. I feel like some of the greatest strongholds of demons in your life and in my life are yet to be exposed and broken. And it will do things in your life. It will totally transform your life. It will affect you in ways you've never been affected. You are going to be so fulfilled, so thrilled with what God is doing. But let me tell you, those demons are going to fight. They are going to fight you like you have never been in a fight before. But what God is doing is he's raising up people that are going to join you in that fight. And they're going to see you through that fight. And you're going to find freedom to receive love, give love. You're going to realize that you can be a friend and you can have friends back and forth. This is what God's going to do. We're talking about something that is so profound. And we're just beginning to scratch the surface. Jesus is going to win. He is going to win. And his plan will be fulfilled. Now the issue, of course, becomes how. That's always part of what faces us in this. So I'm going to just share a number of things here. We must make decision. I don't mean just set a course of action and, okay, do this every day. I'm not talking about it like that. I just mean a basic decision where you're saying this day by day, that you are going to really allow God to work in your life. And one thing that I feel is really important about this is you don't have to know how he's going to do it. You don't have to concern yourself with that. That's not the issue. The issue is just, will you allow him to really work in your life? And if you will say yes to that every single day, you will find him working in your life. You don't have to understand it. There are things happening to me that I can't even begin to explain. And that's true with a large number of you. You are experiencing things in the Spirit. God is doing things in you. You cannot really put it into words as to what is happening. But you know that it's happening because you're allowing God to work. You've got to allow God to work. It's done by opening up to him in faith. It's always going to be the bottom line of faith. Don't ever think that any preacher will ever get up who's presenting the Word of God and say that it's something other than this is the bottom line. The bottom line will be faith, period, no matter what. It's putting your trust and confidence in God. You'll never get away from that. That's the bottom line. That's what it all revolves around. You can't begin to please him without faith. It's faith that works by love. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, as you're allowing God to work, you must continue to really open up to Him. Now, that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Until those demons are fighting you. Until there's all these fears and all these reasons why this can't be happening. I've been facing a lot of these in my own life and with some other very dear people. And I'm very thankful for it. Because I'm learning things that I never knew before. And through it, I'm experiencing things that I wouldn't experience otherwise. I'm talking about really yielding to God's Spirit and yielding to those things that He puts upon your heart. Those things that God really puts upon your heart as far as to show love, to put yourself out on the line, to really demonstrate commitment, support, and to let God be big enough to take care of the whole thing. To let God be big enough to take care of it. And to let your pastor take care of it. And let your church government keep you within the proper guidelines as well. Now, I will guarantee that as God is moving, it will involve things that some could easily, and some will be, but could. I wish that it would just remain as could, but it won't be just could. But could easily be stumbled by. Don't be critical. Don't judge. Trust. Boy, there's a big difference there. And if you can get it, you'll make it. If you don't, you won't make it. I'll guarantee the things that God has done thus far, as far as things that could stumble people, we've just started. There are things that are going to happen. Oh, will some people be stumbled? But it will be God. The fruit will be good. It will bring glory to Jesus, and this person will end up losing the whole move of God because they were stumbled. Because they wouldn't trust. You're going to have to trust. Don't allow those critical thoughts. Don't let them in. They're not doing you a bit of good. You don't know what you're doing. You're not in the place to be a judge. You're not, I guarantee it. I'm talking about you that make this your church home. You that are here as visitors, I'm not really talking to you. You're just, in a respectful way, you're here along for the ride this evening. I hope you enjoy it, but don't misunderstand the way I'm saying things. I'm not applying them to you. I'm talking about to the people that are here, they've been here, this is their church home. You've got to trust. See, these things are going to involve loving God like we've never loved Him before. There are going to be manifestations of God through us, of us loving Him. They are going to be so thrilling. But they're going to stumble a lot of people. You think we've faced a lot of accusations up to this point in time? The accusations are going to continue. They're going to multiply. They're not going to decrease. They're not. There's no way they're going to decrease. And it's also going to involve loving His Son, and His Son involves loving His body, that is, the saints. There will be such profound expressions of love, and they will be all proper. They'll be legitimate. The pastor will be watching, the church government, and all the rest, God's Spirit. They'll be intimate. And some will be stumbled. They don't have to be stumbled. But you've got to open up. You've got to trust. I want you to really be making a decision tonight that you will trust. Otherwise, your needs won't be met. I'm having needs met through certain things, situations that would have never been met otherwise, because I'm opening up to God. And it's for you. It's for every single person. There's no exception. Realize this. We don't know what loving one another really is. We really don't. We don't know what friendship is. We don't. There's a lot involved here, and God's going to have to teach us all the way along. And if we don't let God teach us, we won't be able to enter into what God has for us. And He's got tremendous things for us. There is just so much more involved than what most people realize. This is so important. This is so important. If you stay on the outside, you will never understand these things. You can't afford to stay on the outside. And your needs and your true desires, they will never be met. They'll never be met, my friend. They'll never be met. And you'll walk away, you'll end this journey of life, and your life will be empty. Your life will be empty. Now you may make it to the other shore, but you will not arrive the way that God wanted you to arrive. For some of you, you've got to really open up. You've got to open up. You've got to let down all the walls, barriers, fears, worries, and let God be God. Let Him be big. Let Him take care of you. Got to get the starchiness out. Got to get the fears out. The key is really allowing God to move. And without Jesus moving, these things can't be done. Now, for a moment, here's a question to ponder. How have you done with the three major moves of God over the past 5 years? Really think about this for a moment. How have you done with the three major moves of God's Spirit over the past 5 years? Think about that. If you've been here all that 5 years, really think about that for a second. That lets me get a drink of water. What was the first move? It came from Wisconsin, from our satellite church, and we described it, for sake of a better term, a baptism of love. It involved singing in the Spirit. It involved laying on of hands. And it involved a deeper ministering to one another than we'd ever experienced before. It stumbled a lot of people. It stumbled a lot of people. Some of those people aren't here because it stumbled them. They left. How did you do with it? Are there certain things about that that still hinder you? If they do, it's only going to be sooner or later that those oily rags next to the furnace ignite. You've got to really face these things. You've got to get these things taken care of if there's a problem here. What about the second one? Deliverance. Starting to understand the working and hold of demon spirits like never before. What was it like the first Saturday when Keith stood here and we had our deliverance service? How many were here when that took place? That first Saturday. What happened right down here on the floor? Yelling, screaming. What happened back there in the middle aisle? Same thing. It's not really all that decorous. Seems a little bit out of place for church. All these people holding somebody down. I mean, what's going on really? Come on. What's happened to Community Chapel? You know, you'd come to church and people would be ministering to Don over here and people would be screaming over there. I mean, screaming back there and somebody in the back prayer room screaming. Were some people stumbled? A lot of people were stumbled, weren't they? Do you know there's some that still haven't come on board really with deliverance? Do you know that? Are you really aware of that? Some still have not come on board really with deliverance. Boy, that's terrible. How much longer will they stay here as God keeps adding more and more to these waves of His Spirit? The inevitable will come to pass. And it's not that this is the only place to be, but this is where God called them. And for them to walk out the door, they'll lose the call of God for their life. They really will. Very serious thing. What about the third major move of God? Dancing before the Lord. And now, dancing with one another. You know, some had a hard enough time when people were just dancing before the Lord. And now it's men and women together. And they're looking at one another. Are people being stumbled? You better believe they're being really stumbled. Are we doing anything wrong? No. Are we in the will of God? Yes, absolutely. Will we give it up because a few have been stumbled? Never. No way. But oh, my heart is deeply concerned for those that are stumbled. Now, how have you done? How have you done with these three? The real issue of this whole thing is this. Now, please listen. Please consider this. Do you trust God's ways? And that's not enough. It's not enough to say yes to that. It's not enough. And the shepherding of your pastor. Those two things. And they are truly inseparable. And if you try to make them two things, you'll miss what God is calling you to. It's really the truth. And this is what a lot of people are even further going to be stumbled by. And the accusations of a pastor with a demon of control, they're going to increase as well. We're going to end up a people, in the right sense, totally committed to our pastor. That is going to cause some people huge problems. But it's absolutely vital to the move of God. And without it, the move of God will not ever become what God wants it to be. I can't even begin to tell you how important this thing is. Can't even begin. You have got to come to grips with your life. You've got to. Now, I don't know who I'm exactly talking to, but I know I'm talking to quite a few. I have no idea, percentage or number, and I don't really care. And overall, that's why I said we are a church of love and we are a church of commitment to our pastor. But there are things that have really put that to the test, and some have not done so well with the test. I don't think C minuses and D's are going to stand us in good stead with the storms that are coming here in the future. Now, the reason for me speaking this way is because, and I mean this with all my heart, I really want your desires and needs to be met. As I look out on your faces, and certain ones come into focus, and I look at you for a moment, I want your desires and needs to be met. That's the only reason I'm up here. That is really the truth. That's what I want for you. And I know this, that they just won't be met. It's just going to happen. That is not the way it is. They won't just be one day met, and now you're fulfilled and satisfied. It's not going to work that way. Oh, it would be so wonderful if that's the way it was. But it's not that way. There are very definite steps. Very definite. And each step is important. And each step must be taken. You cannot pick and choose. You can't pick, I like dancing, don't like deliverance. I like this part of trust, and I don't like this one. I like this part of the service, I didn't like this part. I like this part of your message, and I didn't like this part. Yeah, now I feel comfortable. It can't be that way, and it won't work that way. And God won't have it that way. It's going to be a man-child. And that man-child is going to be like Christ. That man-child is going to be yielded to God. That man-child is going to be trusting God with all of its heart. See? It's going to be conforming itself to God's word right down to each and every point. Really. All done by the Spirit. No legalism. All done by the Spirit. So if you haven't been doing very well with certain aspects of these various moves of God, and if in some of these you're still basically on the outside, I am deeply concerned for you. And God is deeply concerned for you. And your pastor is deeply concerned. And all the rest of the elders are deeply concerned. And I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to be left by the wayside. I don't want that to happen. I want you to know that we are on the threshold of a moving of God in love as never experienced here before. And maybe, in the overall sense, it's never been experienced anywhere else before. That's how I feel about it. I feel like God has things that He's going to do and has already done to a measure that He's never been able to do before. And all that He wants to do is increase that and just keep moving in greater ways. That's the heart of God. But the problem is, He can't find the people that will let Him do it. Will you let God love you? Will you really? Or are you going to let condemnation keep robbing you? See? Works. Legalism. Will you let your pastor love you? Will you love those that are on your heart to love? See? Will we let people affect us? And as God moves on us, then we affect them in return? See? We've got to really open up. We've got to really open up. God wants you to be totally satisfied and fulfilled. Totally. That's the abundant life. That's what He wants for you. Now, I'll tell you what the issue becomes. The issue becomes commitment. Lanny touched on this Friday night. And he touched on it not in just kind of a light way, in a strong way. And I feel like that's what I'm here to do this evening, is to really call you to commitment. You need to commit yourself to Jesus in full trust. You've got to. You've got to realize that what He has done thus far, the fruit is good. It's God. Whether you can explain it or not is beside the point. There are so many things I can't even begin to explain. But the fruit is good. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to trust, not doubt. I'm going to jump in, not hang back. I am not going to miss the true longings of my heart being fulfilled. And I want you to come in with me. That's how Don feels. That's how every elder feels. That's how everyone that has really become the nucleus of this church feels. We just want everybody to come in, so they can have every longing fulfilled. It's sad to think of the people that are outside our church right now. We haven't put them out of the church. They just don't come here anymore. Their longings, there's just no way they'll ever be met out there. I just wish they'd stayed in here. Just heard of a brother that some were able to minister to yesterday at a birthday party. I was so thrilled with that. I was so glad to hear that. I hope it can bring him back. Somebody that a lot of you know and love dearly. He's out there, and the longings of his heart are not being met out there. They can never be met out there. Even if he's not in any gross sin, they can still never be met out there. They're only going to be met right here. That is the truth. Not just in this building, but in this body. Because this is the way God has set it up for it to be. And it's where He's called you. You must really commit yourself to Don Barnett. You have got to do that. And I know people panic, and they fall right flat on their face. You know, they wouldn't mind it if I said, commit yourself to your pastor. They could kind of accept that. Not really people here, but, you know, other people. But then when you use his name, I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, you're really telling us to commit ourselves to him, Don Barnett. You know, and that's exactly what I'm doing. Our pastor, all he wants is God. If that isn't clear by now, then I don't know what you're looking at. Somebody must have told you that somebody else was Don and you're watching the wrong guy. You know, that's all I can figure out. It's so obvious. His whole life proves it. Everything he's ever done here proves it. What more proof do you need? His life, his ministry, prove that you can trust him. I am going to totally trust my pastor. I mean that with all my heart. I've never meant it like I mean it tonight. I mean it with a new depth and new revelation. And I believe that God is going to keep increasing that revelation. And I feel totally safe. It caused me not one doubt, one fear, one reservation. None. Well, aren't you worried about him going off the bluff? No. No, because God's big enough to keep him from going off the bluff. God set the plan up. I didn't set it up this way. It's got to work sometime, somewhere in history. Seems like it's working here. Why not jump in? That's how I feel about it. And I'm going to keep treating it just that matter-of-factly. That's what I'm going to do. Thank you, brother. Suggest you do the same. Now, one step further, which for me is a bit hard to fathom because I happen to be one of these guys. The same must be done with your elders, which is really hard for me to comprehend, but that's the way it is. I don't understand it, and I don't think Don really understands in the full sense why we're supposed to commit ourselves to him. Now, he can give you the theology, and I can give you the theology, but when it gets right down to it, it's, Lord, this is incredible. Especially when you're that person or part of that group. This is an amazing thing. I am going to tell you something tonight, real simple, doesn't sound big, but boy, is it big in my life. I feel like for the first time within the past few months or weeks or whenever, I don't know exactly what time frame to put it in, but I feel like for the first time I'm really accepting God's call for my life. It has really been a struggle for me. I don't know how the other elders have done with it. I don't know, but boy, that the whole idea of me being an elder was so foreign to me. You know, it was just like, I hear you talking, but you must be talking to him instead. But I am accepting God's call like I've never accepted it. And I cannot begin to explain why I happen to be in this position. It is totally beyond anything that I really understand. Just like the love I've been receiving, the friendship I've been receiving. I sit at my desk and I lean back. I don't fall over. I just lean back. And I am totally overwhelmed by this. And when I try to figure it out, I just say, forget it. Just enjoy it. Don't figure it out. Just accept it and then go on with God. Every elder here, all we want is Jesus. That's all we really want. We want you to have all of God that is available to you. That's all we want for you. But according to God's word, you have to commit yourself to us. And I know that that's not real easy, because I feel like we've been at times anything but perfect. And we're all, not all, but quite a few of us, relatively young, but it happens to be the plan of God. It's the plan of God. And we've got to accept the plan of God. And I, like I said, and I have been saying, I will never be able to explain the plan of God. But I was talking to somebody this morning and I made a point, and then I said I have scripture for that. That where he says in Isaiah, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So that's basically what it boils down to. It's not a thing where he said, this will make sense to the natural mind. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And it won't help to think you can go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and figure it out either. That won't help. All that'll do is make you critical and judgmental and cause mistrust and doubts and fears and all sorts of other things like that. In this commitment, we have to really consider, and I want to say this the right way, and I can frame it basically as a question. Who are we, and I'm talking as the whole congregation, really to be judges? We have to say, let God be true and every man a liar. We have to say, God put his book together this way. And if this is the way God set it up, then that's what we have to accept. And we've got to really accept it. And if God has called you here to this congregation, he is going to hold you to this. He's going to hold you to it. I feel like he's holding me to it as never before with Don. I feel like, in the same way that I basically failed Greg, I feel like I have really failed Don. And I mean it with the right qualification. Not entirely, not totally, just maybe 98%. Not really, but I have really failed him. I have not supported him like I should. And it doesn't mean that I've fought him or been critical. It's just I've been blocked. I've been blocked. First of all, it was so hard to accept my call. So then how could I really do something this way toward Don? Boy, it just goes round and around in circles. It's really an incredible thing what can go on in the mind and how the enemy can attack. But I'm committing my whole life to my pastor. And I'm committing my whole life to this move of God. And I mean it. I mean it. I am not going to hold back. I am not going to. And I'm going to be an example to you that you can follow. I don't even know how I can say such a thing. But I know God will do it. I know it's the will of God. There are so many unprecedented things that God is going to do. We've got to open up. Let him do these things. Let him build the friendships. Let him build the other relationships. Let him build the trust. Let him do it. But as these unprecedented things are happening, which they already have and they'll continue to happen, the enemy will be there and you're going to be tested. And you already have been tested. But if we can really get to the foundation of this whole thing and sell out as best as we can at each point along the way, then we're going to make it. You've got to really consider whether or not you're selling out for this move of God. Are you selling out for this move of God? I'm selling my life out for you. I am. I really mean that with all my heart. And this is the whole basis of friendship. I have had certain people brought into my life. It's so obvious that it's God. This has never happened in my life before. And just, boom, there it is. It's the most amazing thing to me. And it's a very clear step-by-step process. Going back to, number one, just accepting the love of God for my life. Like I just couldn't do for years. Somehow God got me to a place where I could. I don't even have the slightest idea how he did it, but he did. It involved a lot of things. I can tell you a lot of different factors, but I still can't explain it. Give you the factors, but that's about it. But without that, God wouldn't have been able to do this. And the key, really, for me, has been this dancing. Oh, the dancing. Oh, the dancing. Dancing in and of itself is nothing. But God's in the dancing. Just like this building. In and of itself, it's zilch. You know, it's kind of expensive, but other than that. But really, there's nothing to it. The reason this building is important is because God's in it. That's the reason. That's the only reason. And God's in the dancing. That's why it's so wonderful. And if you're on the outside of the dancing, you're missing the very vehicle that God is using. That's what's so terrible. That's what's so tragic about that. But as these needs are being met, it's just so obviously God. It's just been so tremendous. I don't even know how he did it. But I'm so thankful. And he wants to do that for every single person. The bottom line is going to be commitment. These people have shown me a commitment. And I know that many of you, in the overall sense, you've been committed to me. I do know that. And you've prayed for me. And I do appreciate that. And I don't want to take anything away from the love that you have showed me over the years. I basically wasn't in the place to do anything with it. And I apologize for that. I really do. I apologize for that. Because that's been a stumbling to some of you. Like I would maybe come across like I don't need you. I need you. I know I need you like I've never needed you before. I really do. I really do. I mean that. I mean that with all my heart. I mean that totally. I'm not kidding. I'm not up here saying something that might sound nice. I do like to say things that sound nice, but that's not my purpose. It's not what I'm trying to do. We must commit ourselves to this move of God and to one another. Really commit yourself to God, to this move of God, and to one another. Remember, there is a nucleus here that means business with God. And you need to join your heart fully with that nucleus. Don't find yourself talking to somebody who's on the fringes that says, "Did you know this about the pastor?" take a big wad of Kleenex. I'll give you the box right here. Take a big wad of it and just stuff it in his mouth. And then say, I'll be happy to pray for you. That's what I would not do, literally, obviously, but what good is that going to do you? It's not going to do you any good. It's going to do you much harm. Let me ask you to do something. Be careful so as not to hinder your brother or yourself. Think a lot more about your soul than maybe what you sometimes do. Realize a lot of things that you might be doing might be extremely detrimental not only to your soul but to somebody else's soul. Don't unwittingly work to rob the pastor, your elders, the brother next to you in the pew. There are a lot of people, and I think it's a significant number, that God is really impacting. They are really opening up to God. You know what one of the biggest things that is hindering them? You, whoever you might be, that are yielding to those critical thoughts. You that are yielding to judgmental thoughts. And so they're not able to love the way they really feel to love. They're not able to move the way they really feel to move. There are so many more people that should be up here ministering. They're the ones that God wants up here. We get a lot of the wrong people up here. We all know that. We do. We get a lot of the wrong people. We just do. I wish we didn't, but we do. A lot of the ones that should be up here, they've been battled by you that haven't accepted them. Call of God upon their life. Accept the call of God on your brother's life. Let that person move the way God wants them to move. That person might end up being a very important person to the pastor. And of course, you'd like to be an important person to the pastor. But he's not calling you to be that, as far as in a direct way. Don't hinder God's call for this one to be laying, as it were, his head upon the pastor's chest. Don't hinder him, because then you're robbing the pastor. You don't want to rob the pastor. You don't want to rob the elders. And really who you're robbing yourself. That's what's the most serious thing really about the whole matter. I feel to be right at the door of tremendous things. I want you to let me go through. I really do. I need you to let me go through. I want to let you go through. Let the entire church government go through. Don't just barge in to us when we're dancing. Don't just assume that looks good, I'm going to dance with them. I guarantee God wants to do something with this eldership that very few of you, and even myself, have any real comprehension of. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Really sensitive. If you feel to be one to be involved, ask some questions first. Ask them how they feel. Do they feel that same way with you? Do some checking. Don't be presumptuous. Don't make huge assumptions. I'm not trying to lock anybody out. I want anybody that God is wanting to bring in to help me get further on in God. And then I want to be able to help them in any way I can so they can go further on in God. But these are things that we have to be really careful with. Just like the way they had to carry the ark. They had to carry it very carefully. They had to do it just so. Well, there's things right now that are just as holy, just as solemn, just as sacred. It may look like dancing up here, but if that's all you see, you're not seeing what God is doing. If it's just people bouncing around, you're not seeing what God is doing. I've had profound things happen to me when I'm dancing. Being linked with people, I don't know what it really involves, but I know they're very significant things. If you let Don really go through these doors that God has for him by you committing yourself to him, and if you let the entire church government go through by committing yourself to them, then we'll be able to bring you right on through with us. And that's basically the way God's going to do it. And he's making it clear, it's the way I'm going to do it. He's not going to really do it any other way. And I don't know all the factors, all the facets, I don't know that. Just like Lanny mentioned, we need to keep getting deliverance. Keep getting deliverance. The things that God is going to do, they're going to be so good. They're going to be so good. It is leading to where we really can be loved. It's leading to where we can really love. I had an experience during this past week where I have really been receiving love. And that was just so affecting me. Just so phenomenally. And then certain things happened where I couldn't, and it was proper to reciprocate it, but I couldn't. There were certain things that were happening. The enemy was upset. Very upset. And that was so painful. That was so incredibly painful. It wasn't enough just to be loved. It wasn't. It wasn't enough. I then needed to be able to love. And the enemy knows this. He understands basically how this whole thing works. And he realizes that just to be loved is not enough. That we then have to be able to reciprocate it. And when I couldn't reciprocate it, it was agony. It was really overwhelming to me. And I was amazed at that. I never knew that. And immediately I was feeling Jesus. And this really impacted me. Because it never really struck me, with all the different kind of things that have gone on in my life, really how much Jesus wanted to love me. And that it wasn't that he just wanted me to love him, but he was longing to love me. And the devil just works to block us so that Jesus can't love us. And there's no way to love him just from us to him without him first loving us. In this process, really, it's always going to be him first loving us. And then we can love him. But with that being blocked, and I realized that really hurt his heart. I never knew that hurt the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, the glorified Son. I never knew that. It never entered my mind before. But as I was experiencing that, it entered a lot more than my mind. And just for a point of interest, my heart really went out to Lanny over certain things. And I don't know if it really applied to him or not, but I felt like that was something that had really been robbed of him through certain circumstances. And that he had this heart of love, but in certain ways, to certain people, he couldn't give it out. And my heart was really affected for Lanny as well. See, what God is doing is he's helping us to be touched with the feelings of one another's infirmities. I felt like Elaine Pack's testimony was really significant. And if we don't feel these needs for one another, we won't minister to one another. And if we don't really feel what Jesus' needs are, we won't really minister to him. And we won't allow him either to minister to us. God's word has promised these things. My one question is basically, will you trust him and open up? Will you trust him? I will guarantee it will be a battle. It'll be an all-out war. And you're going to have to fight the enemy with and for one another. And what you need to say is you need to say just what Scott said 5 seconds ago. When I said, will you trust and open up? Scott said, yes. And that's just what you need to say. Don't gauge how you're feeling. Forget the feelings. Just say yes. And then when the enemy says, how? You just say, Jesus. God's big enough. It's God's will. He'll do it. Just keep saying yes. It may seem totally impossible for you to really commit yourself to the pastor. But just say, I will, because it's God's will, and he'll give me the strength. He'll do it. God will do it. It may seem totally impossible to commit yourself to your elders. There may be all sorts of things. Maybe you've seen our 10 to 15,000 weaknesses over the years, of which God is, I'm glad to report, changing and making us a lot stronger where we used to be really weak. So I'm thankful for that. But maybe that past history makes it difficult. I can understand that. I was you and saw me. I can understand that. I got no problem with that. Now, I know you've seen a lot of God and haven't seen all the weaknesses. I understand that. So, you know, don't feel like you need to come up here and let me know that I'm talking with forked tongue or something. But I can understand where the difficulty is. There's a lot of difficulty to the natural. Just like with the expressions of love that are going to come. And with the dancing with one another, there's a lot of things that are difficult for the natural mind, especially when it's already been so inputted with demons by the hundreds over the years. But you just say, I see the fruit. I see that it's good. I see lives are being changed. That's what I want. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to commit myself to it. I'm going to open up. That's what works. I want you to know, and I'm making this as a public declaration, I'm going to fight for my pastor so that every need that he has for love and that he has to love is going to be met. Our pastor has a lot of needs. He does. Very deep needs. Now that may seem totally absurd to some of your minds, but it's the truth. He needs to be loved by just the right people, right situations, just the right moving of God's Spirit. And he needs to be able to love. Will you really give Don the freedom to hug who he wants to hug? Will you? Or are you going to criticize it? Let him hug who he wants to hug. Let him feel comfortable around those that he feels comfortable with. We let him just talk to who he wants to talk to. And you're going to see, in a sense, I don't think this is absolutely going to be the case, but you may see different groups of people. There may be 5, 10, 15 people, and they become a real close group. Will you let them be close? Or will you accuse them of being a clique? Will you accuse them of being exclusive? Or will you just let him have what God is building there? See, will you just let God do it the way he wants to do it? Don't assume you know how he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm going to let him do it. See? Not everybody can fit in with everybody else in a close, intimate way necessarily. It just doesn't work that way. But God knows who to link up one with the other. Will you let him link those people up? Let him do it. Let God do it. He'll meet your needs. He knows just who to link up with you. He knows who can come and weep upon you. He knows who can come and take your hand and put his arm around your head and let you rest your head here. That's what God knows. Let him do it. Let him do it. It's already being done with a lot of people. But then there's certain ones out kind of on the outside, and they sit around, unfortunately, and yield to certain demons and judge the whole thing. Don't yield to demons. Don't judge it. Trust God. Trust what he's doing. Trust the pastor to keep it in the middle of the road. Let the pastor be the shepherd. Now, if something concerns you, you can express that through the right channels. That's not through some sort of a gossip grapevine that you set up, but through the right channels. Come to an elder. Girl came to me the other day and she did the right thing. She said she was bothered by a particular thing. Well, I said, yeah, I've noticed it. I'm watching it. Now she could be at peace. I hope she's at peace. She should be at peace. She's not. I feel sorry for her. She's not enjoying what's available to her. I talked to another person about the very same thing. I was mentioning this story to her. This other person said, well, I noticed that, and it happened to do in chapel over at the Bible college. And she noticed the same thing, but she noticed I was there, Mark Yokers was there, I think Greg Thiel was there, and maybe one other elder. And she just said, they got two eyes. Multiply times four, that's eight. They got enough guts to deal with it. There's a problem. They know how to deal with it. They'll deal with it. She was at peace right from that moment on. Didn't worry about it again. You know, basically. And that's the way we need to handle this. It's so wonderful to know that God is big enough to handle this whole thing. And we're going to deal with some, I think, incredible things that we're going to have to say, Lord, if you're not big, this thing could come to just nothing but disaster. But it's not going to be a disaster. It's going to meet needs in your lives. One other thing, I don't know if I mentioned this in that experience that I had a few weeks ago, but I just wanted all the elders to be able to lay down here on the floor. I felt this. And I knew it wasn't really all that practical. And then I wanted just the right men and women, you know, as God did it, to come and just weep over them. Just to bury their heads right on their chest and weep and weep. And just show full and total commitment. Just full that we're with you. We're going to love you. We're not going to let you stand alone. That's what we need. Do it, huh? Okay, down here. God is going to do things. They're going to be so wonderful. I want you to also know, and I mean this too. I'm giving a lot of thought to this. I'm not just saying something off the top of my head. The same way that I'm going to fight for Don, I'm going to fight for every single elder. I mean that with all my heart. The reason I had closed my eyes, if I didn't, I was going to cry. I didn't really want to cry right now. I really mean that. I mean that with all my heart. I told Greg, I said, Greg, I failed you once. I'm not going to fail you again. I mean that with all my heart. I mean that with everything in me. And I publicly commit myself to every elder. And I'd like to take the time and to go name by name, but I don't really have the time to do that. But I really do. I commit myself to every elder. My fellow elders mean a lot to me. They mean a lot to me. And I feel like the devil has really blocked us. I feel like the devil has really hindered us. I feel like he's kept us in isolation and in loneliness. Really. And I don't think that we've necessarily felt that on frequent occasions. But I think that's exactly what is really the truth down inside that may still need to be exposed, that we may need to be aware of some of these needs and longings. It's like how Lanny shared, he couldn't relate to my testimony 6 weeks ago and how he knew that that didn't mean that I was off, it meant he needed deliverance. Well, I have felt lately, I've been in a couple of situations where there was such loneliness. I didn't realize how lonely I was. I didn't realize how isolated I was. I didn't realize how much I was kind of put out on the front here and how unsupported I felt. That's why when these people prayed for me today, I felt so supported, totally supported. And I want to make the same commitment to you. I want to fight for you. Now, I can't do it with every single one of you personally. That just can't be done. But I want you to allow me to love you. I've been able to love people in certain situations of late like I've never loved people before in my whole life. I had such a wonderful time praying for Jill McCullough back in that corner Friday night. I could hold her. She was weeping. I prayed for Scott Linderson back there. I could hug him. I could hold him. I don't care what man-to-man looks like. Forget it. I'm not a homosexual, and I'm not going to be. I'm not worried about it. I'll keep rebuking the devil, resisting the devil, fighting the devil. I don't care what kind of things he's going to put in other people's minds. I know what I'm doing. I know what he needed. And I want you to let me love you like that. And if God brings you into my life for you to love me like that, then love me like that, if it's really God. If it's not, well, go find out who you should be loving like that. But I mean complete commitment. There's so many of you that I look at, I would like to just say your name. I commit myself to you. I mean that with all my heart. And this is so much more significant than I ever knew before. Jesus wants to love us, not just for us to love him, as I was talking about and how that impacted me. We're talking about a real work of the Spirit. I have one hope in all of this, that somehow this can affect your heart. I hope that somehow all these things that God is doing is impacting your heart. I want you to know that your longings are going to be met. Some of you, you live in just kind of like a whole world of fear that, well, I've ever really thought about my desires, it's just too painful because there's no way they're ever going to be met. I want you to know everyone is going to be met. Everyone is going to be met. I need love and I need friends. I need to return the love and the friendship. And everybody is in that same category. Allow it to be done. And if you don't end up being a close friend with me, that just doesn't work out. You know, first of all, in my own mind, just to speak candidly, I can't imagine that anybody wants me to be their friend. But there's a lot of you in that same place. That's a big hindrance as to why some of you aren't dating much. Some of you aren't really putting yourself out much because you can't imagine that maybe you have anything to give to somebody else. They wouldn't want you to be their friend. See? I'm a human being. You expect my feelings to be somehow totally different than everybody else's? See, I've faced all these same things. We're all the same in this thing. We're not different in this thing. But you may not end up being my close friend. Well, I can't do anything about that. But I know there's ones that God wants to bring into my life. God knows how to build these friendships. He knows how to do it. And I believe there's a lot to this that God is wanting to do. That it isn't just, I'd like him to be my friend and then I'll just pursue him and we'll make a friendship. I don't think that the kind of friendships we're really talking about are going to be like that so much. I think they will to a degree, but I don't think those are the ones that are really going to meet the needs. The people right now that are affecting my life, if you would have asked me 3 months ago, could these people really affect your life? I'd say, well, I don't think so. I would have never put something together like this. I feel like that's why it makes it so clear to me that it's God. It's God. God is doing these things. And I don't know where these friendships that I have right now are going to go. I don't know whether they're going to become best friends, you know, as it were, most intimate friends, very best of very best friends. And you know what? I don't care. And I'm not going to take any time to worry about it. I'm going to let God just keep moving in my life and him moving in theirs, and him moving in the elders. I feel like some of my best friends are finally going to be my fellow elders. That's what I really think. And but that doesn't mean that only elders will be best friends of elders. It doesn't mean that. I don't know what God's going to do in all of this, but all I can say is that wonderful days are ahead. As the deep innermost desires and needs are met in our lives. The cost? Full commitment. Full commitment. You'll never have friends that really become friends without full commitment. You'll never have what God wants without full commitment to Him and full commitment to the plan that He's ordained. Jesus, by his Spirit, can bring this to pass, and it must, or I am positive that we will never be those disciples that the world knows to be his disciples because we have love one for another. And the definition that most people have of love is so totally wrong. We've got to go right back to square one and ask God to give us a right definition of love. And I think basically we should throw the term friend out of our vocabulary when we're talking about past situations. Yeah, I had friends back there. I don't think we ever had all that many friends before. And I'm not sure in the sense that God is going to bring it about that we even at this point in time necessarily have all that many friends. But we're going to be people that have friends. And if God works it out for me to be your friend, I'm going to commit my life to you as a friend. But over and above that, I commit my life to you as an elder, as a minister, as a fellow saint. I think the most important thing here is just allow God to be big. Let Him accomplish His plan in your life.